From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs.
The city of Peoria is made up of five districts, and it has five district representatives on the city council. The first district is getting a lot of attention right now with the forward motion of its warehouse district, public housing matters, and TIF districts. The third district has the East Bluff and its urban growth cell. The fourth district is always lively, entertaining new businesses and restaurants, as well as a mostly solid housing stock. The fifth district is the city's growth cell. Its housing stock continues to grow, but the people living there have already outgrown their roads and schools. So it always has a lot going on. But the 2nd District also has a lot going on that might not always see headlines. 2nd District Peoria City Councilman Chuck Graham is relatively newly seated at the Horseshoe and returns to the council after a few years hiatus. He was previously an at-large council member, and he's our guest for this Outside the Horseshoe. 2nd District Councilman Chuck Graham, welcome to Outside the Horseshoe, or shall I say welcome back?
Thank you very much, Tanya. You can say welcome back, and it's a pleasure to see you again and the fine work that happens at WCBU on a daily basis.
So many of
my constituents in the 2nd District wouldn't want to live without WCBU.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, let's talk about the 2nd District. When you were on council previously, you were an at-large council person and achieved a lot as such. You now sit as the 2nd District representative. The 2nd District has changed quite a bit in the new map. It covers quite a bit of territory. Mm-hmm. It is the smallest district, you and I were talking. It is the smallest district right now, but still covers a lot of territory and has a lot of diversity.
Right. We each have about the same number of people, approximately 23,000. Geographically, it's the smallest, but it's the most densely populated. When you take Bradley University, for example, alone, you know, about 15,000 people in and out of the Bradley area on the West Bluff every week.
Do you know what the square mileage is roughly of the district?
I should have looked that up. I can tell you that it takes about 8 minutes to go from the southernmost part of the district to the northernmost part and about 8 minutes going east and west. But I can't give you a precise figure. I know the city of Peoria is 46 square miles.
Right. I imagine a lot of people think in minutes for travel rather than mileage because of the way city traffic can be. A week ago, we did not air the special meeting on WCBU, nor was it televised on Channel 22. But you raised some concerns about public safety. Talk a little bit about what happened and how you got to the point of questioning the curfew, questioning how fully staffed the police department was and if they had the ability to handle everything that they needed to handle at their current staffing level and their current budget level. You asked some pretty broad-based questions.
I sure did, because we were beginning to look at the budget for this next year, and we've already run out of overtime for the police department, and we have many, many problems that are very dangerous problems for this community, especially if they're allowed to continue. And so it was my responsibility. I take it very seriously to raise these issues. I've always felt from the first time I ran until this past time when I ran and was reelected to a fourth term that the principal responsibility of city government is to ensure public safety. And if one doesn't have that, it's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If we don't have the safety needs taken care of, nobody's going to want to live in the city anyway. And then when I understood that the curfew ordinances weren't being enforced, and I tightened those up, I sponsored the legislation which tightened those back when I was an at-large. Frankly, it made me very upset because our children are very important. They need to be off the streets when the curfew comes, especially in view of some of the mob action we've seen involving very young kids, in some cases preteen, in parts of our city. Not in my district per se yet so much, but at any given time it could happen in any district.
There was some conversation about curfew. Have you had a chance to talk to the chief, the city manager, other council members since then about the enforcement of curfew?
Absolutely. I believe all the council members became sensitized to the fact that this is a gap. This is an area that was being neglected. I didn't mean to taunt anyone, but I did tell the manager that I'd be happy to provide a display of all 11 green lights if he needed direction on the primacy and the importance of enforcing that. Obviously, we have many, many things happening in the city, and it would seem to be a small issue. I don't believe curfew is a small issue, and especially with some of the teens and preteens who are wilding in parts of our city and doing very aberrant things. So, it's my responsibility to hone in on that, especially as we look at the budget for next year and the fact that we've run out of police overtime.
What's best case scenario? What are you hoping to see happen there as the 2014 budget is prepared?
Well, I believe we're going to see a focus on curfew right now. I talked to Captain Scally today, and they're working on providing some officers that will focus just on that. Some of the council members have been trying to assist staff in finding a safe place for the children to go when we can't find their parents. Catch my drift?
Oh, that was talked about last Tuesday night.
Yes.
It's difficult for Peoria police officers when they drive them home, knock on the door. If there's nobody there,
right,
then they have charge of, and where do you go with the young adult after that?
Well, Tanya, and there's precedent for this. We established a safe place with District 150. We had a relationship with them. You know, it takes only a phone call or two, if we think it's priority, to establish a place so that officers' time is not chewed up. I didn't accept that as an excuse. You know, we can, in the twinkling of an eye, appropriate $20 million for a road project out north. And as well, maybe we should. But, we also need to be just as concerned about our kids and safety in our neighborhoods as we are about a $20 million road. Because if we lose our city south of Ward Drive, all that's not going to matter. And the people out north aren't going to want to pay the taxes at that point if districts 1, 2, 3, and 4 slide into the ditch.
What would you like to see happen in the 2nd District while you sit in the seat?
There are so many exciting things happening right now in the 2nd District, and it wasn't just a campaign slogan. It's something that I say all the time. The 2nd District is second to none. The people are extremely well-educated and informed. Don't run afoul of them because they take their citizenship and their neighborhood organizations very seriously.
You have some of the strongest neighborhood associations in the city, some of the most well-organized. They meet regularly.
Oh, yes. And we have maybe 10 to 12 really strong neighborhood associations. Last night, I had the privilege of being at the Center Bluff Neighborhood Association, which meets at St. Paul Baptist Church. And they're sharp and they're on top of things. And Moss Avenue has a cell, the neighborhood cell. They're strong neighborhood associations. The Florence Neighborhood Association out by St. Paul's Episcopal Cathedral. We've got them all over the city. Great neighborhood associations. Hamilton Park Neighborhood Association, Uplands, Moss Pratt. I can go through the whole list. And I don't want to do that because I'll leave some out.
Somebody out.
But the 2nd District, many exciting things, whether it's the West Main Corridor with the young entrepreneurs, the area out on North University where we're trying to get some hanging flowering baskets. They'll be coming in the West Main stretch here pretty soon. Raising the optics where our businesses are, the Sheridan Triangle, the area on Sterling. I can envision great things happening on the Sterling Corridor, the Forest Hill Corridor, and I'm working with Montelongo to do some stuff that blends the neighborhood associations that spin off of Sterling. Two runs right into four along there. So we've got some exciting things happening.
You raise a couple of issues that I would like to drill down and talk a little bit more
about.
The Sheridan Triangle. How do you replicate something like that?
Well, the 2nd District is so unique, and there are some unique aspects to the other districts as well. One of the things that's been discussed is maybe some special service districts where some of the resources can actually be plowed back into that particular district. They're doing it a lot in Chicago. And then the business people in that particular district can decide how they want to use the money. And the manager and I have had some discussions about whether or not this is something we want to pursue in the 2nd District. And I'm receptive.
West Main Street, what do you hope to see there?
For one thing, we buried all those unsightly telephone poles and wires. We're going to have a new streetscape there very soon. We're going to have the widening of the sidewalks, which will make sidewalk dining a possibility for us. We certainly want West Main to be inviting, but we want all of our corridors to be inviting. That area out going north toward Golden Corral, Sterling Corridor, McClure, Forest Hill. We want all of it to be vibrant.
You've talked about the flower baskets that are put out in the summertime. Apparently, you are looking to have some flower baskets added to University Street between what, Forest Hill and War. Talk about the value of that. Why?
Well, it's the opposite of the broken window theory. It says we care, and that can be a huge deterrent to nefarious activity as well. The people here care, and we show it in our neighborhoods, the pride that we show. And I just think it's a winner, and my constituents love the idea. And a lot of the businesses along there, whether it's Walmart on North University, Golden Corral, many of these businesses along there, I think want to improve the optics as well.
Who pays for that? What does it take to care for that? How much does something like that cost? Do the businesses pitch in or no?
Oh, my goodness. It's expensive. $400 yeah. a basket. That would be the basket itself, the flowers. And then the main expense, Tanya, is the $300 to water those flowers all during the season until we get that first hard frost. Because they have to get up on lifts and water those. If it's really hot, 100 degrees, it's twice a day.
Wow.
So it's labor intensive. But if you have businesses kicking in, a couple of $1,000, one business could sponsor five baskets.
Sure.
Before you know it, you have 10 to 13 up along a stretch, and it says we care, and people like it.
Do you have some businesses that are willing to pitch in toward that or have already said, yep, put me on the books?
And even more exciting is I have an anonymous angel on West Main that has just, well, they're doing remarkable things and they want to remain anonymous, and that's so exciting. And then we have the businesses that care.
Yeah.
And I want ultimately, and the city manager likes to see them downtown, other council members do it, I like to see the whole city decked out.
Mm-hmm.
And raise the optics, we'll improve perception, but we have to still go at the meat and potato issues as well, which we talked about at the beginning of the program. So this is not a replacement for that. It's just a complement to it.
Yesterday, you visited Quest Charter Academy. Would you talk about what you learned on that tour, what you were aiming to learn?
Oh, they're wonderful. They run two wonderful schools in the 2nd District, the Quest Middle Academy 5 through 9 over on Boots in the 2nd District, and then, of course, the one on North University, which is their primary school location.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed visiting with the staff at the Quest Middle Academy yesterday. And I'll be going back in the fall when they're back in operation. I'll be meeting with the liaison to the schools in general throughout the city, Bill Collier, about some thoughts they have about how to improve Peoria High on this Thursday. So ultimately, I want to visit all the schools, both private charter schools as well as public in my district, and I know some of the other district council people are going to be doing the same thing.
Given that there are two completely separate bodies that govern the city of Peoria and District 150, what is truly in the scope and purview of Peoria City Council, you as a council person, what can you bring to bear to help District 150?
We have to work together. That school board controls a lot of money. Our largest school district, City of Peoria, has all or part of five school districts, but our almost 14,000 District 150 Peoria Public School District is the giant in the room, and they have approximately 40 attendance centers.
The majority of a person's property taxes go to education
in
the state of Illinois, no matter where you live.
Absolutely. So what happens to our children, whether it's curfew or the type of education they get, is vitally important to a community because it's a national security issue. It's a Peoria security issue. If we don't bring out the best in our children, education from the Latin educere, bringing out the potential of each child, we will not be competitive in the 21st century. We will not continue to be a superpower nation. Peoria will wilt and die. So we have to be concerned about our kids, whether it's something that they're not wilding on the streets, that they're getting a good education in all of our schools, whether they're public or private. So it's vitally important. And I look forward to a good dialogue with District 150. And I could be a great champion for District 150, and I am a great champion because I was a 33-year veteran of District 150. And I'm going to tell you right now, our schools, typically speaking, our teachers and our principals do a great job every day with our pupils. Most of our children are well-behaved and they're getting a good education. Richwoods and Dunlap High Schools recently, I'm just touting them because they recently won awards as two of our top high schools in the country. So there's a perception that perhaps some of our schools aren't up to speed. But
I think there's more than a perception. If you talk to realtors in the city, they're going to tell you that when people who come to work for some of the larger organizations in the greater Peoria region arrive and speak with a realtor, they say, yeah, we'll need to be looking out in the Dunlap area, the Washington area, the Metamora area. They're basing that choice on education. If you talk to realtors, that's what they say. And that's something that it's really hard for the city to push against and the district.
We need to push back, and some of it could be self-aggrandizement and interest because the property sells for more if it's out north and the commission is higher. Oh,
sure.
Did I say that? I can't believe I said that, but I mean it. And boo on those people who are concerned about sending their children to schools where we may have 70% of the children at or below the poverty level. That means nothing. We have program and curricula for all children, children that are college-bound, and that's not going to affect the educational process whatsoever as long as we have strong principals, good faculties, and orderly schools, and we do. And very occasionally there are problems. We all hear about those, but I believe that you can get fantastic education in any of our Peoria public schools, as well as in our Dunlap schools and the other schools that lie in the city of Peoria and our private schools.
Councilman Graham, what haven't we talked about that you would like to talk about on your return to Outside the Horseshoe as the newly seated 2nd District Peoria City Councilman?
It is a humbling experience to be elected, to be an elected official, period, and to have the honor of having the people place some trust in you. And so every day when I get up, I try to be sure I'm doing my very best job for my constituents and for the city. I take the job very seriously, and I will work hard for them once again. I promise them that. If I make a mistake, it won't be a mistake from the heart, but from the head.
Thank you so much for taking your time
Tanya.
To be here.
Thank you.
You're listening to 89.9 WCBU Peoria Public Radio. We've been talking with 2nd District Peoria City Councilman Chuck Graeb. I'm Tanya Kuntz. This is Outside the Horseshoe.